Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said to his disciples, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, later in the same sermon, we hear the Lord say, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? This kingdom is God's gracious rule over us in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, Christ our Lord, into the world to redeem and deliver you from the power of the devil and to bring you to himself and rule you as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and an evil conscience. The righteousness of God is the righteousness in which he clothes you. Jesus' blood-bought righteousness. To seek his kingdom and righteousness is not to go on some great quest to go out and find it using your own powers. Rather, this is something that comes down to you from heaven as a great gift. You cannot earn it. Christ earned it. Christ earned his righteousness. Christ earned his kingdom. And he has the right to send it and give it. He says, "Seek it first, his kingdom and righteousness." This is to have faith in God's promises, to expect without doubting eternal blessings from a gracious God. Therefore, Dr. Luther says in his large catechism, we must strengthen ourselves against unbelief and let the kingdom of God be the first thing for which we pray. And so you, as a believer in Christ, do pray for this in the Our Father. You say, "Thy kingdom come." You cannot earn it. You seek it to come unto you in believing prayer. For that's who you are, a believer in God's promises. Now we understand Jesus' words in his Beatitudes. The kingdom of God belongs to the blessed believer, the one who is poor in spirit, who is the one persecuted for the sake of Christ's righteousness, the righteousness that identifies you as a believer in Christ to the world. So James, the brother of our Lord, wrote, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" Yes. Yes, God has. Even if you have temporal wealth as a blessing, and let's be honest, compared to so many in this world, in this nation, we almost all do live in a great abundance of daily bread compared to others. Nevertheless, the Bible is not saying that wealth or the lack thereof is the ticket in or out of God's kingdom. What the Bible is teaching us is that while here on earth, those in God's kingdom are not loved by the world, because the world is a different kingdom. Such a person in God's kingdom is poor in the world, and poor to it, and poor to our own corrupted spirit, and so relies instead on the Holy Spirit's power and on Christ's righteousness. Doing this opens you up to the hatred and testing of the devil, this seeking God's kingdom and righteousness. The devil, the world, the flesh, they put a target on your back. In this temporal life, you should expect to be poor in spirit, persecuted for righteousness' sake, to be poor in the world's eyes. Things will not always go your way. For every Christian in the world is in the world and not truly of it. You're not truly home here in this world. The opposite of seeking the kingdom of God and Christ's righteousness is to be anxious for the things that this world idolizes and is anxious to get its hands on. To not seek God's kingdom and righteousness is to seek after unbelief and its fruits. Hear the Apostle Paul, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Ephesians 5. And now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5. And Paul says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But this is not the last word for you in God's kingdom. One given Christ's righteousness, Paul continues on, 1 Corinthians 6, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, made righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were that way, part of this world. Now in Christ, through being joined to his righteousness, to his death and resurrection, receiving the name of Jesus and his Holy Spirit in that font, you were washed, you were made holy, you were justified, and you still are in Christ." That happened. Now in Christ and in his kingdom, you're different. Now you can know God as your Father. You can believe in him. You can rid your heart of its idolatrous proclivity to worry about food, clothing, and the things that money can buy. You can entrust yourself to your Father in heaven to take care of everything you need. And to let your Father in heaven love you as the crown of his creation, to know you are of greater value than all the birds of the air and the flowers of the field combined. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. For you know God as your Father, as you see him in the suffering and death of his only begotten Son. You know God in the kingdom of grace in which his Son rules over you by bearing your sin, taking it away, and filling you with the Holy Spirit who sustains you in true faith. This is why, after Jesus tells you not to worry about what to eat, drink, or wear, he points you to the kingdom of God, to seek it first, and his righteousness. God will certainly take care of your every need of body and soul. Christ rules over you in God's kingdom. He baptizes you. He preaches to you. He feeds you with his body and his blood. This is how he fills you with the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. The Holy Spirit attacks your false faith. He then breaks the idols within your hearts, and that hurts. It cuts, and it's humiliating. But he doesn't leave you faithless. He turns your faith away from the things that are perishing in this world and with this world, and joins you by true faith to Christ in a mystical union. And the Holy Spirit sustains you in this true faith by teaching you through the Holy Scriptures. When you, in your folly, forget and fail, he teaches you again and again, as he does through the Apostle Paul. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or of any worldly pursuit, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is Christ's gracious rule over you. The righteousness of this kingdom is the righteousness in which he clothes you. With your hearts broken and bleeding from the beating that's given by the false gods in which you once trusted, you limp back to the true God, and you find him in his peace in his Son. Here, he forgives you your idolatry, washes you clean in your baptism, gives you treasures from heaven that cannot be destroyed by sin, death, or the passage of time. He gives you the eternal joy of heaven. Only a fool and an idolatrous fool would prefer the things that money can buy and would prefer to be anxious about such things to the gifts that Jesus has purchased for you by his own blood. God, for Christ's sake, forgives you all your sins, sets you at peace with him, and bestows on you a value more precious than anything this world can offer. Anything. Don't worry, friends. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. It's not in your hands, but it's in the hands of your heavenly Father who takes care of you. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for you, to bring you into his kingdom and clothe you with his righteousness. Will that God surely not also freely give you everything else you need for each day? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.